So, hey guys, we're back. We have another one for you. And oh my God, you guys are going to love this one. This one came to me at very last minute. I've been working with the person that we're going to be interviewing today. We have Sam Dolan on the phone. And he came to me just a couple of days ago and he said, Mike, I got this one I want to do. And I have been on the laptop and on the computer for like solid. And then I found out so much more. You're going to love today's podcast. Of course, I want to thank my friends at the Wild West History Association at wildwesthistory.org. If you're looking for true factual history and you want to be part of a group of people, a club or a group or whatever, a fraternity, a family is probably a better way to say it. Go to wildwesthistory.org, join, become a member, and you too can learn about the truth in Western history. Also want to thank my friends Eric and Mark over at Tombstone Epitaph. You can get the Tombstone Epitaph, a newspaper delivered right to your door, and Sam is a contributor to the Epitaph by going to tombstoneepitaph.com. Now, Sam came to me a couple of days ago and said, Mike, I got this opportunity. I got this series I'm working on. Oh my God, it's right up your alley. We got to talk about it. And before we do talk about it, I want to remind people that we have interviewed Sam a couple of times. You can find his story when we spoke about his story, his background being an extra in the movie Tombstone, and all the cool things that he's got going on in his life, and his new book at that time, which was Hell Paso. You can find Hell Paso on Amazon and booksellers near you. But go back in the archives on June 2022 and listen to that podcast. And then right after we did that one, like 6 months later, we came back for his latest book, which was Line Riders. And you can find that podcast back in the archives by going to Line Riders. And it was on the date of December 30th, 2022. And so you'll learn all about Sam. Today we're talking about a super cool television, it's like not really a channel, it's a channel. And that is INSP. You can find them at INSP.com. They're also on Facebook and YouTube. Go check out their YouTube page at INSP TV. They're on YouTube. And then they're on Instagram as well at INSP underscore TV. You're going to want to give them a follow. But they are an insane programming channel dedicated to Western history and Western television shows. And you're going to, oh my God, when I got into it and Sam told me about it, my wife and I have been binge watching as much stuff as we can because there's so much there. And go check out the website because the website is full of blogs and it's full of history and it's full of television series and movies and the things that you love. Right now on their website, you can see an interview with Sam Elliott. It just was great read, and there's stuff in there about Gunsmoke. There's just all sorts of stuff on that website. So make sure you go to www.insp.com. And if you're wondering where to find them, if you have, you know, you're living somewhere across the country and you're like, I'm not sure where to pick up INSP, go to their blog, their website, just like I told you, insp.com. And in the upper right hand corner, it says find me or find INSP. If you put your zip code in, it'll tell you exactly the TV station or the cable provider or the satellite provider, and it'll give you the channel number and you're in like Flint. So that is, we'll be reminding you about it because INSP is the place to go for Western history. And if you want the truth, it's kind of what their tagline is, which is the heroes live here. And they are so right. The heroes live here. So that is a lot. I got a lot on there about INSP, but I want you guys to know about them because they're a great television service, and they're putting out some great, great history, which is why we're talking to Sam today. So hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. It's so good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. And we do chat periodically, and I'll see something about Sam, and I'll text him, and he's a busy guy. So thank you for taking your day or an hour or so to talk to us. So what's been going on with you? Do we have a new book coming out? Because you know, I talked to the Dolan family, and they're kind of getting sick of you laying around the house eating bonbons and and drinking soda pop and just laying there on the couch all day long. Do we have a new book coming out?
Well, I'll say that I'm in the process of putting together a new book, and it's sort of in sort of research mode at this point. I have a book that I'm working on about sort of rustlers, cattle rustling and crime in Montana in the 1890s and early 1900s. And I'm pretty excited about that idea as it's sort of coalescing. But for the last year, my main focus has been on the television series for INSB, Into the Wild Frontier. And I was, I've been working as the executive producer and showrunner on season four of Into the Wild Frontier, which premieres next month on March 24th. And so that's been my primary focus. There's a lot of work, obviously, that goes into a production like this. We produced seven new episodes that we're very excited about here in Montana all last year. And it's a great, you know, it's a great experience. It's a great, you know, it's a great series. And so we're really excited about it.
But the series itself, it was listed as notable frontiersmen. Like you're doing, they're almost like they're miniseries, correct? And explain it like one series, or it's not just one episode, correct? It's multiple.
No, it's series. Yeah, it's multiple episodes. So we're about to premiere season four. We've been producing this series. Warm Springs Productions, the company that I work for, we've been producing this series for INSB since 2021. And season one, which had eight episodes, that premiered in early 2022. And each episode highlighted one of the noteworthy explorers or mountain men of the early West. And so it's the part of the American West that's very much about the fur trade and exploration and early encounters between mountain men and trappers and indigenous cultures. So the characters include Jim Bridger, Kit Carson, Jim Beckworth, Hugh Glass, you know, figures like that, the classic mountain men of the sort of the fur trade era of the 1810s, 1820s, and 1830s. And in 2022, you know, as a result of the success of that first season, we produced a second season. And again, it was many of the noteworthy mountain men of the fur trade, characters like Joe Meek. You know, we've covered other folks like, you know, Daniel Boone, Lewis and Clark. So we produced a second season, again, another eight episodes. And then towards the end of 2022, we went to Kentucky, where we did a season on a sort of the early frontier. So again, Daniel Boone and figures of the frontier of what, you know, the frontier at the time of the late 1700s. So parts of New England, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky. And we shot all of that sort of in Daniel Boone's backyard near Lexington, Kentucky. And then last year, we started work on what is now season four of the show, and we kind of went back out west. And so we are revisiting the fur trade characters, the mountain men, the plainsmen, the frontiersmen, and sort of their next chapter. So we're picking back up with some of the characters that we followed in the first season, guys like Jim Beckworth and Joe Meek. And sort of moving into the next chapter of their lives and their adventures. So, you know, the fur trade, the heyday of the fur trade in the West was the 1820s and 30s. Season four starts to move more into the 1840s and even into the 1850s. And you have sort of a different issues, right? You have the fur trade's kind of winding down. The mountain men are still out West. Now they're starting to find new opportunities. They're working as traders, trading goods, you know, among the different indigenous cultures of the far West. They're getting involved in large-scale events. We talk a bit about the war between the United States and Mexico in season four. They're heading out to California. And right around the corner, you have, you know, you have the Pioneers who are now going to be following in their footsteps and coming out west. And so we're, season four is kind of at this pivot point, this transition in the story of the West and Western history. And, it's going to be a great season and we're really excited about it.
But your, God, this is going to sound weird. The way that it's produced and the way it's made, it's not just told in a little 30-minute segment. It's like, we're out, and you've moved to the next one. They're long. Like, you're telling the whole complete story of these people. You're telling their whole story, correct?
In some cases. The format of this show, it's what would be referred to as a historical docudrama.
There you go.
And what that means is each episode has scripted drama where you have actors portraying these figures and, you know, sets, and we shoot in these beautiful locations, you know, horses, gunfights, battles, all of that drama, stunts, special effects. But the added component which separates this show from a typical scripted show is you also have a narrator. You have certain archival elements, and you also have the commentary by historians who are experts and biographers of many of these people. Paul Hutton, who's a very noted historian, he is a frequent contributor to the show. And so there's a sort of a documentary aspect to the series. And each episode is an hour long. So we produce these in seasons, usually of 7 or 8 episodes. And each episode is an hour long. And in that hour, you're introduced, the audience is introduced to another one of these noteworthy frontier figures. And some episodes will go through their entire biography or a big part of their biography. And yet some episodes are a little more focused. We might just cover a part of their lives, because some of these lives are epic. You know, you think of characters like Jim Bridger or Kit Carson or Jim Beckwith. I mean, those were careers, if you will, on the frontier that spanned decades. And it's hard to cover all of that in just an hour. So sometimes we'll produce an episode, and these are actually my favorite episodes, that just cover like a few months or maybe a year in that person's life with sort of a central adventure or incident sort of defining that episode. For example, in this coming season, for season four, we talk about a young mountain man named Jim Baker. Baker kind of got into the fur trade kind of late in the game, very late 1830s into the early 1840s. And he was a protege of sorts of Jim Bridger and other notable frontiersmen. And so we kind of introduce Baker and his entry into the fur trade. But our main focus is this really sort of career and life-defining incident where Baker, who is like 21 years old, has to take command of a group of much older mountain men and Shoshone warriors who are engaged in a major battle. And so it's his sort of baptism of fire. And most of the episode sort of focuses around those events. So some episodes will cover a lot of time and years will go by. And yet several episodes are very often very focused, where we kind of cover incidents that define the lives of these people or speak to the nature of this sort of grand adventure of the Old West.
Well, if you're wondering who we're talking to Sam Dolan. We're talking about INSPTV. You can find more about them at INSP.com, INSP.com. And the new series coming out, actually a new season of the series Into the Wild. It's a 4th season. It starts Sunday, March 24th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. And again, if you want more information, go to INSP.com. And you can find out all the stuff, what's going on. And remember, at INSP, your heroes live here. I have to ask you about the production.
Sure.
And then I'm going
to... Yeah, that's
my
favorite part to talk about.
Well, I'm going to ask you about the production, and then maybe even talk about the locations, because in the when I'm watching the series, I'm watching a series created and produced in the open range, like in the open mountains, like against rivers and streams and wooded forests and buildings and mountains. And like, I can't even imagine what it would be like, for one, for your production people, well, all the way back to location people. One, they have to find the location, and then they have to find it that doesn't have power lines and windmills and places like that. So one of my questions is how do they find that? Is CGI involved in case there is a spot where it's like so beautiful, but we've got to remove that phone tower at the top of the building, you know? And then how do you get a crew out there? Like, you've got actors and you've got lighting people and you've got electricians and you've got cameramen, and they're out there with logs on the ground and water everywhere and bugs everywhere and animals everywhere. How did you guys do that?
Well, I'll preface that by saying that one of the most sort of integral parts to any Western, whether it's a TV show or a movie or a historical docudrama like Into the Wild Frontier, well, the West is not just a time, obviously, it's a place. It's a part of the world. It's a part of this country. And it is a place that was the stage of a lot of great drama. And I think John Ford understood this as a filmmaker, that you want locations speak to that, that have a sort of grandeur, that act as a good canvas for the sorts of stories that you're going to tell, these iconic stories. And, you know, Montana is, undeniably a beautiful place. I live here. I love Montana. I've lived in other parts of the West, but Montana is a spectacular landscape and an environment. And we've produced, of the four seasons of Into the Wild Frontier that we've done so far, we've produced three of them here in Montana. One season was produced in Kentucky because we were doing that sort of earlier frontier of the late 18th century. Most of the shows have been produced here in Montana, and we've been very lucky with the locations. Season one was shot outside of Bozeman, kind of nearer to the Gallatin, Madison, and Jefferson River areas of the state, kind of in southwestern Montana. Seasons two and now four, we've been shooting mostly here in our area near Missoula, Montana, where I'm based and where Warm Springs Productions is headquartered. And so we're often working in these landscapes along the Bitterroot River and the Bitterroot Valley and sort of other areas sort of tributary to that. And so you have this panorama, this backdrop of the Bitterroot Mountains and all of this open country. And so you want to find locations that are sort of evocative, and they sort of speak to these stories, and they're similar to the landscapes that your characters work in. And in fact, we often film our episodes in areas where, well, some of these adventures actually took place, or at least our heroes passed through here at some time. We have, in the upcoming season, we have an episode on John Mullen, who was a young engineer for the U.S. Army and an explorer. And we know that he crisscrossed the Bitterroot Mountains right here near Missoula and spent a lot of time here. But from a production standpoint, when you're scouting locations for a show like this, you know, you're trying to find the locations that you're going to use. The process is sort of twofold. There's two aspects to it. First and foremost, you want to, from a creative standpoint, from a storytelling standpoint, you want locations that speak to the grandeur of the West, that are sort of geographically appropriate to what you're doing, that offer sort of terrain features that are correct for the stories you're telling. But it's a logistical sort of process as well. You know, when you have a crew that you're in charge of, you're basically moving a small army around every day. And so you have to think about how big that location is, that property that you're using, the sort of transportation aspects of it, certain safety aspects of it, where you're going to place people and equipment and vehicles and, you know, your base camp, your staging areas. So there are sort of logistical concerns. And so you're always hoping that you find the properties where those two aspects, the creative elements and the logistical aspects, kind of collide. We've been very fortunate with that. We have a number of locations near Missoula in the towns of Lolo, Montana, and Florence, Montana, also down towards Stevensville a little bit, and up in Lolo Pass, sort of in the Bitterroots west of Lolo. This is a very dynamic scenery. These are locations that we use both for Into the Wild Frontier and also another series that we produce for INSP called The Tall Tales of Jim Bridger, which is currently airing on Thursday nights. And so, you know, you want locations where, you know, you've got this beautiful scenery, you've got good working conditions for your crew. They're close to where, you know, you want to give the idea that you're in the middle of nowhere, but also at the same time, you know, reasonable driving distances and close to your base of operations. And we've been very fortunate to be able to check those boxes at the locations that we have here in this area. And that's due in large part to the cooperation of the property owners and then certain entities with the, you know, the state when we're working on public lands. And so Montana is just a fantastic place to do programs like Into the Wild Frontier, because you just have all this beautiful scenery and a very welcoming community, in a sense, that wants you to come here and wants you to make these shows.
But the production-wise, Do you get lucky? Sounds stupid. Like, do you get lucky and, there's a rest area right next to where we're going to film. That's our place. Or, you know, or is it like, oh my gosh, we got to shoot that scene and that mountain range is exactly the way we want it. And that river, and you're trekking a group of 100 people or 50 people into an area a mile away.
Well, very often you are lucky in that sense, where you'll find properties, and I've done a lot of work in operations and logistics and in locations over the years, where you sort of have these circumstances that are practical for your crew, because you have a lot of things to consider. When you have a crew of 50 or 60 people, you've got different environments, you have weather concerns, cold weather, hot weather. You have, factors of horses and firearms and stunts and things like that. You want to make sure that you're able to provide a safe work environment for your crew and also have all of that great mountain range over there, the river, you know, floating by and things like that. And we've been very fortunate in that respect. I mean, there are times where, producing any Western is a sort of, and this goes back to the early days of the genre, it is a logistical battle. How do we get our crew and our cast on that bridge or on that hill or get that shot? And, you do occasionally have, challenges in that respect, but we have a great team. Our crew that works on this show, and in many cases, crew members that have worked on all of the seasons of Into the Wild Frontier, it's a fantastic group of people. I've been working in film and television since I was in my teens. So that's 30 years or almost 31 years now. And our crew, I just love them. They're a fantastic group of people. It includes staff members here at Warm Springs, our producers. We have an excellent camera team. A lot of people here from Montana or who live here. We have, folks that help out and work in our wardrobe departments. Our hair and makeup team is excellent. Our horse wranglers, our armorers, our production designer, Jerry Hornbaker, he comes from Pennsylvania, but he spent a lot of time in this part of the country. So we just have this fantastic crew. You're surrounded by these great people. And those are the folks that make these things come about. You really, at the end of a long day, at the end of a day of great scene work and great drama and good performances by your actors or a big battle, you know, you've gotten to the finish line because of that just lovely and wonderful crew of people that you have. And we are so fortunate on Into the Wild Frontier and on Tall Tales of Jim Bridger to have just such a wonderful team.
So if you're wondering who we're talking to Sam Dolan. We're talking about the new season of Into the Wild Frontier. It is the fourth season. It starts March 24th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. I think I blew it on the last break where I told everybody to go to inspdv.com. That is not correct. It is insp.com. insp.com. Heroes live here. I'm thinking about the series that I'm watching now, which is Daniel Boone. Or not series, but the episode about Daniel Boone. And in that episode, as we were binge watching it last night, my wife and I, and continued this morning, so good. Man, it's good. How much did nature play into it? Like, were there lots of outtakes or was it pretty well controlled? Like you're trying to do a shot and you go by and, oh my God, there's a guy sitting there on a horse. Like, or there's a guy fly fishing in a river. Like, really, bro? Like, what are you doing there? Or was everything so set up in advance that those things didn't happen? Or maybe a moose showed up that wasn't supposed to be there. Was there any of that?
Well, that's a terrific question. Certainly when you're doing a show like this and each season, when we film these episodes, it's several weeks in the field. You know, it takes a lot of work to shoot any of these episodes, and all together, it's a big production. And you're working in environments where you want to have a certain control. You know, you get a big ranch property that's several hundred acres, and you have certain control over that environment, but you only have so much control. And Montana is a very dynamic environment. You have weather that changes. You have wildlife, elk, deer, moose, bears. I mean, these things happen. You see them. They're, you know, occasionally, at least at a distance, you encounter these things. Every now and then, the intrusion, if you will, of other folks who are trying to enjoy, you know, that wonderful environment. But usually we have a sense of, you know, a certain amount of operational control on the ground. I mean, things happen. I mean, last summer when we were shooting these shows, you know, we had an unusually damp summer last year. So we had a lot of rain during the summer. And it's fairly unusual in Montana. And so there's no control over that. You can go into a shoot day with have everything planned right down to every T being crossed, every I being dotted. You know, if at 4 o'clock, you know, there's a rainstorm, well, that can really change your situation. And those things do happen. It's one of the conditions, the occasional hardships of working on any Western show in an open environment like this. But we power through it. Again, it's largely owing to that great crew. Sometimes you embrace those windstorms or those rainstorms. They become kind of a character in what you're shooting, but sometimes they're an obstacle for sure. But those things, you know, those things do happen. But again, it's sort of part and parcel for shooting a Western.
The gentleman, then, to change subjects, I'd like to talk to you about the historians that come on, because the historians will come on in the middle of the episode and tell something very poignant, very much needed to continue the story into the reasons and the facts behind it. How were those people picked? I mean, they're obviously personal relationships, like Paul Hutton, who's an insanely amazing historian. I interviewed Paul Hutton about the Robert Utley story when Robert Utley passed away. He did the tribute podcast. But how do you pick them? How was that selected? Is it your background in history as an historian, or is there somebody that reaches out into this big pool, scoops up a bunch of historians out of, you know, in a cup and says, these are the ones?
Well, it is a process. You know, first and foremost, when you're trying to identify interviewees, you know, historians and other experts or other experts and contributors, you know, you want to find people who are, they're good storytellers. They know the information, they're well-versed in the facts, but they can speak to the stories that we're telling. They can contextualize what the audience is seeing. And Paul Hutton, who we have interviewed for Into the Wild Frontier, I think just about every season, and I think he's in probably every episode or nearly every episode. In my estimation, Paul Hutton, as a historian, he is sort of the William Faulkner of the Old West. Paul is a brilliant historian. He has spent his life immersed in these characters and the great drama of the American frontier. And so he has a way of communicating these ideas both factually, you know, and in a way as a storyteller that I think really drives home, you know, what we're trying to say about this period of American history. Andrew Nelson is another historian that we interview frequently. He also does a terrific job of that. So you want to have historians and generalist historians that can speak to the big picture, who can contextualize how the story of Jim Bridger or Jim Beckwith or Jack Hayes, the Texas Ranger, how they fit into this narrative of the American frontier and why this is important. And then sort of complementing those interviews, you know, you have a variety of experts who are specialists. They might be a biographer on a particular character, or they in their field of study or what they write about, they kind of concentrate on certain topics that you're going to cover, whether that's the fur trade or the Santa Fe Trail, or the role of the Army in the West or the Texas Rangers or whatever those things might be. So you want to have a good combination of those sorts of voices. And we've been very, very fortunate. We have, you know, just about every season we have some new experts that come along, but we have a really good core group of contributors who are such a central part of the show. I, as a historian, just the other side of my life, I've been interviewed a number of times for the series as well. But really, it's a really great group of historians that come together to help tell these stories.
So will we see you?
Yes, you will see me in season 4 of Into the Wild Frontier. I pop up here and there talking about some of these stories and some of these characters. You know, as a writer, I tend to cover the American Southwest quite a bit, although not exclusively. I've written a lot of articles and, you know, about Montana and other parts of the West, and certainly my next book will be very Montana-centric. I tend to cover sort of a later period of the American West, the sort of the West of the, you know, the lawman and the outlaw, a lot of border related issues, but, you know, also very familiar and well-versed in these topics as well. It's all sort of connected. We have an episode, this year for season 4 of Into the Wild Frontier. We have an episode on Lucian Maxwell, and, his life speaks to something that I love about the history of the American West, and that is all of the connections in history. Lucian Maxwell was another young mountain man and trapper and trader at the end of the fur trade, heading into the very late 1830s and 1840s. And he went to Taos, New Mexico. He spent a lot of time around Santa Fe. And he had just this epic life, and he was very good friends with Kit Carson, who's been a recurring character in Into the Wild Frontier. Well, Maxwell later became a very prominent figure in New Mexico territory, and his family became very prominent. And his son Pete Maxwell ties into the story of Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid was killed by Sheriff Pat Garrett in the home of Pete Maxwell. So there's all these really fascinating connections in the history of the West. And many of these fur trade era mountain men figures that we cover, they had lives that sort of transcended any one particular moment or period. You know, Jim Beckwith is probably one of my favorite mountain men characters. In season one of Into the Wild Frontier, we introduced Jim Beckwith. Jim Beckwith was an African-American mountain man, and he had a fascinating background. And he, as a former slave, he went out west and reinvented himself in this environment, in these different cultures. He was part of the, you know, mountain man culture. He also became part of the indigenous culture. He has a strong connection to the Crow people. And then as time went by, he became a trader. He rode as a dispatch rider for the army during the Mexican War. He went out to California. His life spans the fur trade, the California Gold Rush, all of that history. Jim Bridger is another excellent example of that. Many of our characters lived these lives that were sort of defined by that mountain man period of the fur trade, but really transcend that really have a big impact on the story of the West and all of the people that they came into contact with.
Well, again, we're talking to Sam Dolan and the new, I said earlier, the hit series. I think it's going to be a hit. I think it's going to be a hit series. I feel it called, but it's a series called Into the Wild Frontier. Season starts March 24th, 2024. You'll be able to find it on the INSP network, wherever you find INSP. And it starts at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you're listening and March 24th is long gone, and March 24th, now we're March 24th, 2025, I urge you still to go back into the website, insp.com, and search out all the new stuff that's going on the website, and find them. There's a little bar at the top that says, find INSP near me or something like that, and you put your zip code in, and it will tell you the exact channel, the cable network or the satellite network or the TV station, and go back and watch it and watch what's going on, because they've got so much insanely wonderful Western programming that it'll end up being one of your favorite television stations to watch. It'll actually end up becoming your go-to TV station to watch. I'm watching it on my iPhone, of all places, when I travel through the Roku app, and I can actually watch it on my, I can get Western history when I'm traveling across the country for my job, and I can watch it on my iPhone through Roku. I mean, there's no excuse to not get INSP. And to remember, heroes live here. We don't have much time left, so I'll try to make it. We'll try to squeeze in a couple more questions.
Sure, and there was one topic I wanted to touch on, Mike, and that is the indigenous component to Into the Wild Frontier, which I think is such an important aspect to the show. If that's okay, I'd love to just touch on that a little bit. You know, one of the elements that is just so critical to the series Into the Wild Frontier are the contributions that are made by our indigenous actors, our indigenous background performers and horsemen, and indeed our indigenous historians, who are among the experts that contribute to the show. We have a coordinator, Walter Running Crane, here in Montana. He works very closely with our team in bringing together the warriors that are parts of these indigenous communities that our mountain men characters interact with and trade with and occasionally are in conflict with. And these guys just do an awesome job. They're excellent horsemen. Walter can ride horseback, shoot bow and arrow. I mean, he is just such an important member of our team, and it is so important to have that contribution. That they are the indigenous people are so integral to these stories. Many of our mountain men immerse themselves in these indigenous cultures and interacted with and traded with Native Americans. And so that is such an important element to what we do in the show. So it's great to have to be working in an environment like Montana, where we're able to bring in Lakota, Cheyenne, Crow, Blackfoot people that can be part of this production in such a meaningful way. And so that's very important. I wanted to just bring that up. It's so integral to what we do.
Well, it adds to the factual truth that your production team and the people that you work for and INSP, the truth in Western history, because if you tell it wrong, it comes out being a lie, then it becomes disrespectful, and you didn't do that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we really strive to be considerate of those ideas. And like I said, we've just been so fortunate to have such a meaningful contribution by our indigenous contributors and actors and background players and experts. It is really important to have that perspective. It speaks to the larger narrative that we're telling. And we've been very fortunate with our cast. We have just absolutely terrific actors who are portraying these characters. Joseph Callender, who plays Jim Beckworth now for the second time. He was in season one and now revisiting Beckworth in season four. He is a wonderful actor. He brings such humanity to the role of Jim Beckworth. But all around, we've got just such a great cast of actors, and they really care. They read the books about these figures. They do their research. It's very important to them. And a lot of these actors, they love Westerns. It's a great opportunity for them to showcase another aspect of their sort of instrument as being an actor, being able to ride horseback or be a battle scene. Or it's a very action-packed show. Lots of battles in season four, lots of gunfights and other types of adventures, a lot of horseback riding. It's going to be a very action-packed season, and those actors, they really did a great job helping make all of that come together.
So we have about 10 minutes left. Actually, less than that. Yeah, it made 10 minutes. Was there an episode, in thinking back in all the episodes you've done, not just season four, but all of them that you've done so far for the series, where you as a crew were like, oh my God, I'm so glad that one's in the can. That one was a butt kicker.
Was there one? Was there one that was especially tough?
Yeah, or long, or the details were so, it was so important, includes so many details that that even though it wasn't a butt kicker, it was difficult to create. Anything like that?
Well, it does happen. I mean, we try to accomplish a lot with our series, big battle scenes or other complicated action scenes or things involving, rivers and water or horses or wagons, and all of those things are challenging. And they're especially challenging when you have a smaller crew and when you're trying to do things on a tighter schedule. Obviously, though, there are challenges just sort of cooked into that process. I don't know that there's any one episode that sort of screams out along the way that, well, this was a really tough episode, but certainly there are days that are tough. We shot a big battle scene last summer, this big fight in New Mexico. And it went well. It went very well. But it was an exhausting day. Were we glad at the end of the day? Sure. But there was also this sense of satisfaction. Well, some of the happiest days of my life are when you're out there and you're confronting those challenges, overcoming them with your team, and you're there. And then there are moments in episodes that I think the group all together is very proud of. Paul Epstein, who's the executive producer and showrunner on the earlier seasons of Wild Frontier, they had an episode on Kit Carson, and it was such a poignant episode where Carson has to confront the legend that's being built around him in a way that was very deep and meaningful. And it was just a really poignant day. And then we've had moments, more recently with season four, we have an episode on William Hamilton, another young mountain man at the end of the fur trade, and his mentor is old Bill Williams, who's a sort of a throwback to the earlier period. And there are moments in their dialogue and their scenes together that I feel are just so meaningful and poignant and speak to the history of the West and the passing of the torch between different generations. And so those are very rewarding moments.
So then my last question would be exactly what you kind of briefly touched on by accident, which is, what is the goal of the show? Will the series continue to march forward in time, or has, on a creative note, have you and the other people involved in it, the networks involved in it, have saying we're only going to stay in this area of time and not move past 1860 or 1880?
Well, the best way for me to answer that question is to say that there certainly are no limits as to what we can do with a series like Into the Wild Frontier, because we've already started to inch forward in time. There's a lot of adventure and excitement in the 1840s and 50s, and then again in the 1860s and into the 1870s. And I certainly have ideas about where we could take future episodes and future seasons of the series. And so, I certainly hope that our audience appreciates and really enjoys this season, because, we would very much like to continue to tell these stories. There are lots of opportunities yet as you sort of move forward in time in different parts of the West and different personalities. And then even some of the characters that we've covered previously, they went on and had a lot of other adventures when the fur trade was over. So, yes, I certainly think that there are opportunities to continue to tell these stories for sure.
So this last question, going to be a trick question.
Okay.
He's like, oh, my God, what's Mike doing now? If he goes anything, goes crazy, it's over. I'm hanging up. I asked this question to my historians and writers and to my regular listeners. They know what's coming. And that is the series in the can. It's over and done with. Think about all the people that you've portrayed, or not portrayed, but that you have created episodes around in this season. And if Sam Dolan could go back, get in a time machine, go back to any one of them, to see that period that you were telling about. That's a huge question for you, I know. But see it, not get involved, have no photos taken, but look at it, be involved and see it and say, my gosh, we nailed it. I see it, and get back in the time machine and come home. Was there one of them that you looked at and went, God, I'd love to be there?
Yeah, I think I can answer that question. And this is mostly because of the character as much as the particular episode, and that would be Jim Beckwith. Mm. Beckwith had such an epic life. And I think it's a life and a story that bears further exploration and additional research. He went all over the West. He knew all of these folks like Jim Bridger and Kit Carson. He went out to California. He helped scout a trail for the people that would head to California, in the wake of the gold rush. He interacted with all of these different indigenous communities. He saw this transition, or several transitions, in the history of the West. And I would like to see that. He was able to sort of chronicle his life towards the end of his life, and that fascinates me. And so I would really like to see that part of the West through his experience and his life. His life serves as sort of a symbol of this entire period of the West. The West, to a lot of us as Americans, is important because it is the place in our mind and in our ideas that we can go to reinvent ourselves and find new opportunities and turn a leaf or turn a page. And Jim Beckwith's life says a lot about that and says a lot about the West.
That's just so cool. We don't have much time left. Anything you want to add just in the next minute or two?
Well, I just so appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to you about Into the Wild Frontier and the INSP channel. It's a great place for Westerns. If you love the West, INSP has a lot of great original shows, feature films, and then a lot of sort of iconic classics like Gunsmoke and The Rifleman. So if you need to get your Western fix, INSP is the place to certainly find that.
Well, and huge thanks to them because they believe in what you're doing and they're the ones getting out your season, actually getting out your series, the show called Into the Wild. The fourth season starts Sunday, March 24th, 2023 at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Again, I urge you to go and check them out on Facebook and Instagram and wherever, and YouTube. Their website is insp.com. Really a fantastic place for Western, just like you said, just like Sam said. Check them out. Give them a follow. I they're now on my Mac down in my toolbar, my desk bar. I went to them 3 or 4 times last night, 2 or 3 times this morning, and was just, there's just so much there. They have a cool newsletter, so put your information down. They'll send you a newsletter and email it to you, and there's just a lot of information and a lot of stuff to see. And then be sure to tune into the Wild. Binge watch it, get caught up. There's a lot to see, there's a lot to learn, and it's factual, and it's the truth, and it's not made up, and I love that. And I thank Sam Dolan for coming on. Again, if you want to find Sam Dolan, it's your bookstores near you or on Amazon. Look for El Paso, the story of El Paso, Texas. And then Line Riders. Line Riders is about prohibition and all the running of alcohol and drugs along the border. Correct? Is that right? The Line Riders?
Yes, it's about the Border Patrol and the Customs Service in the old days on the border.
Yeah,
and the sort of origins of the Border Patrol, and that was a pretty rough time in the Old West.
Just a great book, and there's so much reading. He's got another one coming out, and I know I was calling him lazy and stuff, but if I said that to his face, he'd show me otherwise. I'll show you lazy. Probably put me to work, but as a helper. But again, I want to thank the folks at INSP. For getting this show out and getting this series out. Into the Wild, starting Sunday, March 24th, 2024. Did I say 2023? 2024 at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And again, go to the website, insp.com. Heroes live here. Of course, I want to thank my friends at the WWHA Wild West History Association, wildwesthistory.org. Join if you want true, be part of a group or a family of people that love Western history and love the facts of Western history. Our Roundup 2024 is coming up in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Would love to see you there. And the Epitaph, one of Arizona's longest running newspapers, at tombstoneepitaph.com. I appreciate you guys coming on board. If I made some mistakes today, I'm really sorry. I don't edit anything, and so you get to hear me make mistakes, and that's the way it goes. But I appreciate you guys a bunch for listening. Of course, you can find me on iHeartRadio and Spotify and Podbean and Stitcher and all the places you listen to podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review. And if you're wanting more of me, I know that's just horrible to think about more of me. You can find me on my Facebook page at Cochise County_travels and on Instagram at Cochise County_travels. You can find me there, and there's just a lot going on. And again, Sam, you got anything left? We got a minute, 30 seconds left. Anything?
I just want to remind everyone that the name of the series is actually Into the Wild Frontier.
What did I say?
Into the Wild. So the series is Into the Wild Frontier, and the fourth season will premiere on March 24th.
Thank you. I'll have to say it like a bunch of, because there is a movie. One of my favorite movies is called Into the Wild. It is Into the Wild Frontier. Season 4 starts March 24th, 2024 at 6 p.m. Eastern. You can find them, all the information there at insp.com. Thank you for correcting me. I always tell the interviewer, like, I hope you correct me. And you did just that, and that's fine. Again, we appreciate you guys a bunch. Safe travels, and we'll see you soon.